1 Corinthians chapter 1, got a real simple message for you today. Amen. I like what Brother Morey was saying about being in the jails. The thing I preached in the jails when I'd go there all the time was I preach against jailhouse religion.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'd ask him, I said, why do you think people hate jailhouse religion? The inmates would look at you, and I don't know, I says, because of worldly repentance. I said, worldly repentance, you're just trying to get out of your circumstance or situation. Amen? Ain't genuine godly repentance. And because of that, when I was in evangelism, I'd go around the country and I'd preach on church house profession versus jailhouse religion. Amen. A lot of people make a profession, but they ain't ever met God. Amen. And we need genuine repentance. It's sad today that preachers are preaching against repentance. Amen. Amen. The new Bibles, I mean, Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, they take out repentance, don't they? Christ didn't come to call sinners or righteous, but sinners to repentance. Them new Bibles want to remove that. Amen. You know, we ought to emphasize and preach on things the new Bibles take out because the devil wants them taken out. Amen. Well, we'll just skip on. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, right? But to what?
Preach
what?
Gospel.
The gospel. Amen. So we see baptism's not part of the gospel.
Amen.
Now, if you take a survey, take a clipboard, go meet 100 people and ask them, if you were to die tonight, do you know if you'd go to heaven or not? More than 50% of them probably tell you, well, I've been baptized. Well, I like showing them, Christ didn't send me to baptize. If baptism is part of the gospel, then why is it separated here?
Yeah.
Amen? It's not the same. But so many people want to put water baptism as part of their salvation. Amen?
Right.
I mean, your Mormons, that's what they believe, baptismal regeneration. Your Catholics believe in baptismal regeneration. You ask a Catholic today, if you are you saved? And they go, well, I have been saved when the water splashed in my face, and now I'm in being saved in process. Hello. They haven't been pardoned. Most people have been put on probation. Amen. Right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I had a Pentecostal come to me at the popcorn festival, and he come up, chest puffed out. You know, he's an Acts 2:38er, and he was talking about how he got saved and everything. But one thing I got a problem with was that once saved, always saved. And I said, oh, I said, you have never lasting life up. Think about that, huh? Amen. When I got saved, I got everlasting life. It's eternal, right? Amen. And listen, I was pardoned. I wasn't put on probation. Right? And you know what I noticed? I noticed according to Romans chapter 5, verse 10, that I'm saved by his life. I'm not saved by my life. I'm saved by his life. Right? Amen, amen. And listen, you'll throw them guys curveballs like that. They can't handle that. But that's not the message today. Amen. Notice what it says. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made none effect. For the preaching of the cross is them that perish what? Foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. And I got to notice in the New Bibles, change that verse 18 there. They change it and says, to us which are being saved.
Uh-huh.
So what you do is when you come across somebody that's an NIV believer, New American Standard believer, anything like that, you sit back and say, well, according to your Bible, and we're talking about your Bible, not the King James, we're talking about your Bible, you're not saved, are you? Oh, yeah, I'm saved. No, you can't believe you're saved unless you're a King James Bible believer.
That's right.
Because if you believe the King James Bible says unto us which are saved, right? But if you want to promote the NIV, we're in the process of being saved. We're not saved. So you can't know you're saved if you're an NIV believer.
Right?
You can only know you're saved if you're a King James Bible believer. Right? But that's if you had an experience with the Holy Ghost and he converted you, right? Amen. So I'd like to preach a little while today on the kind of preaching we need.
Uh-oh.
Amen. Amen. We need some old-time real preaching, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Well, first of all, I'd like to preach on, we need some preaching that pricks. We need pricking preaching.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. We need the Holy Ghost to cut people in the heart. Amen? What happened when Stephen preached? Let's look at Acts 7. Amen. Let's look in Acts 7. We need pricking preaching, man. You know what? He was talking about having that conscience awakened. He said the first time those men from Old Time Baptist Church came into that jail and they preached that old King James Bible, his conscience got awakened. Amen. All of a sudden, something happened. It was pricking preaching. Amen. Acts chapter number 7. Notice what it says in verse 51. Ye stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart. Boy, isn't that nice preaching? Huh? I mean, isn't he kind and tender and compassionate and positive, right? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. I mean, isn't that powerful preaching? You know what we need? We need preachers to sit back and tell people what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. Amen. God didn't call me to be a politician. He didn't call me to be a puppet. He didn't call me to be a parrot. He called me to be a preacher. And I need to be a preacher to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But if you're trying to get a salary, you might have to shave it a little bit and take the sting out of it. Right? I heard Sean Hannity quote Benjamin Franklin. He said, usually the sting of any rebuke's the truth. Right? So we're trying to get away where we don't sting people. I was telling Brother Bruce and Miss Tammy last night that the thing they're trying to do is remove all the negatives out of life. Listen, we got to tell the truth. You know what the homosexuals are mad about? We tell them, you can't go to heaven like that. They're mad. They want us to accept their life. God don't accept it. We're not to accept it. Amen. They want to feel accepted in this world. We can't make them feel accepted when they're contrary to God. We need pricking preaching. We need somebody to tell them the truth. I had a guy in the jail tell me one time, he said, well, I was molested as a kid. I didn't choose this way. I said, no, you was done wrong and you liked it. That's why you chose it as a lifestyle.
That's exactly right.
Amen, amen, amen. Don't blame God. God didn't make you that way. It's a choice. Amen. We got to tell people the truth, even if it hurts. I'm not talking about being mean. I'm not talking about being ugly. I'm talking about being honest. Look what he said.
Yeah.
Which of the fathers have prophets have not your fathers persecuted? They have slain them and showed them before the coming of the just one whom ye have now been betrayers and murderers. That's some tough talking, man. Looking at somebody in the face and telling them, that's the problem, bud. Amen? We need preachers to tell us what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. But you know what? If we tell them what they need to hear, they're gone. Going to some non-denominational church down the road. They don't want the truth. We need pricking preaching. We need preaching that'll cut them. Look what it says, verse 53. You've received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on them with their teeth. I haven't been bit yet preaching.
Yeah.
I've been threatened a little bit, but I've never been bit. Amen. Right? But he being full of the Holy Ghost. See, we need preaching that's going to cut them to the heart. Amen. We don't need to skirt the issue. Say, you know, if I say that, they'll never come back. If I say that, I'll lose the tithers. If I say that, I won't be able to accomplish and build what I want to build. I got to tell the truth. There was a girl years ago, I went to her and she goes, I don't believe in God. Her cousin took me over there and I said, why don't you believe in God? She goes, you think God would let me raise a baby without a father? I said, do you think God told you to get in the back seat and fornicate and become a whore? She goes, oh, I'm a whore now, huh? I said, you're the one that played the whore, not me. You want to blame God for your sin? You want to say God doesn't exist because you chose to go against what that Bible says and you chose to sin and have a baby out of wedlock and then you want to turn around and say God don't exist because you're a whore? She got saved. Amen. Amen. I said, you know what your problem is? I said, you foolishly charged God. You blame God. You need to forgive God. Amen. You know, there's a lot of people out there that blame God for a bunch of things, and they got issues in their heart about God, things about God. You know what they need to do? They need to forgive them. Say, God, you're just, you're holy, you're pure. I'm the one that's wrong. I'm the one that's to blame, and I forgive you, amen, for because I've believed a lie about you. Amen. You know what happened? She did that. Then she turned around and asked God to save her. Amen. What a thing. Right? The lights came on. Amen. The lights came on. We need prickin' preaching. You know what God told Paul in Acts 9? Look at it, Acts 9. Saul was consenting unto the death of Stephen. He was one of them that was cut to the heart by Stephen's preaching. Amen. Acts chapter 9, verse 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Amen. That's what we need to do. Listen, we need to preach like Brother Askers was talking about. And when you preach, the Holy Ghost is pricking people. I love it when they get mad. I love it when they get angry. I love it when they stew on it. I love it when they got to sit back and deal with that thing. We got a man coming to our church now. He was a lost Roman Catholic. And he said, this is before I met him. He said the conviction came upon him and he knew he was going to hell. And he said it came on him so heavy, he knew the Catholic Church had no answers. He knew he was going to hell. He didn't understand why he was going to hell, but he just knew it. He just sensed it. And he began to wrestle with God for months about going to hell. I said, would to God we had more people that just stew under conviction like that.
Come on.
Amen. We got to get them lost. They got to hear it. The Holy Ghost has got to cut them. He's got to prick their heart. Amen. You got to get to them. And we're trying to avoid that pricking. We're trying to avoid getting somebody upset or mad. I'm not talking about ticking them off in the flesh. I'm talking about the Word of God cutting to the heart. We can't withhold the sword. We can't keep it from, amen, from saying what it needs to say and do what it needs to do. Sometimes there's hard things that got to be said. Let's look in, with that in mind. Let's go to John. John chapter 6. I've had to say some hard things to my kids. I had to say hard things to other people. Amen. Amen. You got to, sometimes you got to say some hard things. Verse 63, it is the spirit that giveth, that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto their spirit and their life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, who should betray him. And Jesus said, therefore I have come unto you, no man can come unto me except to be given him of the Father. And from that time, many of the disciples walked away. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong place. Let's look at verse 60. And many, therefore, of the disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Amen. Jesus was telling them, hey, your fathers, amen, had bread in the wilderness and they're dead. Right? Amen. Jesus is saying some hard things and the disciples come want to rebuke them. This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? See, we're trying to get to a place where we won't offend people. The Bible says in Matthew 24, the beginning of sorrows, many will be offended, betraying one another, even unto the death. We're living in a society and everybody's offended. All their feelings are on their shoulders. And so we're trying to keep from offending people. We're not going to not offend people. When you preach the truth, they will be offended. Amen. So we can't cater to them. We got to do what's right no matter what. Amen. I'm not talking about being ugly. I'm not talking about being mean. Amen. And then Jesus says this in verse 66. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with them. Right? Then Jesus said unto the 12, you also go away? Man, maybe we need an exodus in our churches. Danny Farley, I just listened to him. Jack Wood used to do that. Jack Wood said, hey, about section right here. You guys ain't doing nothing for God. Why don't you get up and go and make some room for sinners to come in here? Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And you know what Jack Wood said? He said, and Farley said, he said, quit trying to win somebody else's converts. Amen. He said, if you convert Baptists, they're going to come in and cause problems in your churches. He said, go out and win some sinners.
That's right.
Amen. I'm not worried about getting somebody else's converts. I don't want them. Amen. I don't need other people's trouble. Man, when people start church shopping and start looking for churches to go to, man, I mean, I could tell you about five or six churches in Dayton where I'm from that they all kind of, you know, I've seen them as members of this church, and then you go to another meeting, they're a member of that church, and you go to another meeting, they're a member of that church. They're never satisfied. And next thing you know, they're causing trouble. Amen? I don't want none of that trouble. You can have it. Amen? I don't need that. I want to win somebody to God. Amen? But you know what we need? We need pricking preaching. Next. We need preaching that kicks. Amen? We need somebody to kick us in the butt, don't we? We need motivated. We need motivating preaching. Preaching that'll motivate somebody. Kick them. Amen? Listen, you like a kick, don't you? Most people like a kick, right? He said, we got to have espresso coffees. We got to have monster drinks. We got to have Red Bulls. Amen? The other day, we seen in a place called Liquid Death. Amen? I mean, why? They got to have a kick, man. Got to get that boost, right? You know what we need in our preaching? We need a kick. Amen? When people come to church, amen, they need kick started. Hallelujah. Amen? Right? In track, what do you do when you run a track? You talk about running that race over there, that mile. When you come around that last turn, they call it the kick. Amen? Well, we're coming around the last corner, folks. We need to kick it in gear. Amen? We need to get something done for God. Amen? We need preaching that pricks. We need preaching that kicks. And then we need some preaching that sticks. You say, what's that mean? It's more than just in one ear and out the other. Maybe we ought, as preachers, have people hold their one finger in their ear while we're preaching, so maybe something sticks. Amen. Right? Yes, the average person, what'd you preach on? I got no idea. Well, all I know is it was good. Amen. He was foaming at the mouth. He was slobbering all over the place. He was mad about something, but what'd he say? Got no idea. Amen. People don't practice nothing that we say, do they?
No.
They ain't getting it. You know what we got to do? We got to go over and over and over. Brother John, one thing I hated, it says over there, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove. Preachers love that. Rebuke. Oh, we really love that. Exhort. I'm not too good of an exhorter. With all long suffering. He had to put that in there. Suffer long, tolerate these people, put up with them. Amen. What's wrong with you? Can't you get it yet? I've been telling you the same thing over and over for year after year. Come on, get it. Get a hold of it, man. Right? One preacher stood up one time and asked for three verses on salvation. Asked some bunch of different questions, and he said, I failed you. I've been here 20 years, and you guys don't know the Bible. They couldn't give them a verse of scripture on a bunch of different things. You know, a lot of people are so used to being entertained sitting in front of the television set when they come in. They don't take notes. They don't pay attention. They don't go home and look it up like the Bereans do in Acts 17:11. They don't search the scripture daily to see where those things are so. We need preaching that sticks. Amen. What a blessing. Like the preacher was talking about, seeing something actually happen in people's lives. They're actually applying the word of God to actually see it working and growing in their lives. Amen. We need preaching that sticks. I get a thrill. I listen to my son-in-law and my daughter talk a little bit. And my daughter's now 26. And when you start hearing her talk and you hear my son talk, you begin to start saying, man, really, some of it did get in. They did listen. I mean, there's some things that got through. I said, amen. Right? Sometimes it just takes a while to see some of that come, but now you got a little grandbaby, and now you see what they want to instill in that grandbaby, and now you begin to start seeing good fruit coming out. And you begin to start seeing the conviction come out of them, and they start expressing how they want to raise her and what they want to do, and you begin to start hearing those spiritual things come out, and it's like, wow, what a blessing.
Yes, right.
Maybe some things did take hold.
Yes, sir.
Amen, we need preaching that sticks. Then we need preaching that picks. I'm not talking about picking people apart and being nitpicking and all that other stuff. I'm talking about picking fruit. Amen? Amen. We're laborers. We're supposed to be going out there in a harvest. And listen, I want to enter into other men's labors like it says in John 4. Yes, the fields are white on the harvest. Amen? And I got no problem sowing a seed, and I got no problem watering it. But boy, it's a blessing when you find somebody that's already been sowed and somebody's already been watered, and then you walk up and the fruit just lands in your lap. Picking fruit, man. I like that. But the danger in Christianity, what John was talking about, is people turning around picking green fruit. Amen. The Holy Ghost of God hadn't birthed that baby yet. Listen, listen, babies don't come on the first night of conception. Right? Amen. And listen, we got a bunch of soul winners out there that they think they're a doctor, and when it comes to a soul, they want to put some forceps in there and pull that baby out. Right? They don't want a natural birth. And the big thing they want to do is, what do you call that? Caesareans. Amen. Hey, it's time to get that baby out. Cut it out. There you go. Now it's a preemie. That preemie's boy has a hard time getting established, don't they? Yeah. Amen. And like we said last year about a bunch of stillborns. There's a bunch of them that they hit the altar, they're stillborn. They're dead. They're gone. I mean, there's no fruit, no life, no nothing. Why? Because some preacher had to have premature fruit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're not patient waiting on the Holy Ghost. But listen, we need to be faithful to be able to go pick that harvest and pick that fruit when it's ripe, but we got to know when it's ripe. Amen. Well, we need preaching that clicks. You say, what are you talking about? That's right. Amen. Do you ever hear the preaching when it rings true in your soul and rings in your heart? You say, yeah, that's right. And the Spirit of God bears witness with that preaching. We need some preaching that clicks, amen, that gets when you're in your private study and you're reading your Bible and you're seeing what God's showing you, and the man of God gets up and preaches, and now he's a second witness, and you go, yeah, that's right, preacher, amen, I'm behind that. That thing's clicking in your heart and clicking in your soul. We need some clicking preaching, amen. This one I really like. We need some preaching that bricks. We need preaching to give people building materials and substance that they can build something with it.
Good. Yeah.
Amen? It's sad there's a lot of preaching out there that's a lot of milk preaching, and there ain't no substance in it. Amen?
Right.
Amen? Listen, I just taught over there in the book of Hebrews, as I'm teaching through the book of Hebrews in chapter 5 over there, it says the time you ought to be teachers, you have need one again to feed you the milk. Amen. They're babies. They've regressed. They're not. Listen, there ought to be a time you ought to be a teacher. They're not growing. They're regressing. Right? And then the Bible says in Isaiah 28 over there, whom are you going to teach doctrine to? Those that are weaned from the breast. We got too many people that's on the nipple. Amen. Amen. There's just like an old sow out there that's got about 18 nipples on them with 20 little piglets. And amen, there's a couple of them that can't get the milk because everybody else is fighting over it. Amen, and they're malnutrition and they become the runt. We got too many runt Baptists. Amen. Amen, that they're not off the milk yet. Amen, and they're not on the meat and they're not growing. And they know no Bible doctrine. I've seen this out around the country. We can get a lot of people to make professions of faith. But why can't we get them disciples? I think it takes more of the power of God to disciple somebody than to get them to make a profession of faith. See, there's a big push all around Christianity to try to get somebody to do the 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, the Baptist Rosary. Right? And you get tons of people to do the Baptist Rosary, but you never get them established in the faith. And they don't grow. They're not, something's wrong. Amen. Amen. And you say what? They don't have any spiritual bricks in their life. Amen. They don't have no substance. They don't have no mortar. Jesus or Ezekiel said over there in Ezekiel 13, you build it with untempered mortar. Amen. So they're building things and they're doing things, but there's no mortar. There's no strength. There's no glue to hold it all together. And then guess what happens? It all falls apart. Amen. We need preaching that quicks. We need quickened preaching. We need people to come alive. Amen. Amen. First Peter over there says that he begotten us again unto a lively hope. Amen. I'm alive. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Listen, you know when you was quickened? I know when I was quickened. I know when I became alive. Somebody asked me, said, how'd you know you were saved? You didn't cry when you got saved. Well, I didn't have to cry, did I? He said, well, babies are born. When they're born, they cry. I said, yeah, but nobody slapped me at the altar when I got saved. But he goes, well, how do you know you're saved? I said, according to Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of my understanding have been enlightened.
Amen.
Amen. God opened my eyes, and I'll be able to see.
Amen.
And the Bible says, thou lovest righteousness, hatest iniquity. And all of a sudden, all the things that I used to love, now I hate. And all the things that I hated, now I love. Something happened. Somebody moved inside of me, and something's changed. I was quickened. I was made alive. Amen. Amen. I got life. And not only life, but I got life eternal. And I'm going to live forever. Amen. Preaching that quicks. David multiple times says, quicken me, quicken me, quicken me. You know what? That's what we need. We need to be quickened. You know what happens in revivals? What we need is a new birth in our Christian walk of God. And God breathes life back into our dead, sorry carcasses. Amen. We need preaching that ticks. See, what are you saying? Like on a clock. Timely preaching. Amen?
Yeah.
You know what bothers me is preaching to people that ain't in church. Amen? I'll give you an example. You go to Sunday school class and the preacher gets up and rails on you about all the people that's not in Sunday school that should be in Sunday school.
Yeah.
Amen? He'll spend 30 minutes complaining about people. You ought to be in Sunday school. You need to be in Sunday school. You know what? You need to be in Sunday school. And he ain't preaching to the people that ain't there that miss Sunday school. I'm saying, I'm here in Sunday school. I'm here listening. What are you rebuking me for not being in Sunday school? Right? That's not timely preaching. Amen. When that Sunday morning crowd comes in, dismiss the Sunday school crowd and then blast them for not being in Sunday school. Right? Amen. Listen, a lot of times we'll preach against the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons or the Catholics, but none of them sitting in the pews. Right? We're preaching to a crowd that ain't there. Tell that to the person that needs to be there. Listen, I try to teach my son to look me in my God-given eyeballs and look people in the eyes and tell them, hey, man, you got to look at them in the eyes and say, you know, your doctrine's wrong. Right? We need timely preaching. We need to know who we're preaching to and what we're preaching to. We can't be afraid to tell them what they need to hear.
Right.
Oh, well, I can't say that. They're Jehovah's Witness. Well, the Jehovah's Witnesses need to hear the truth. And I'm not talking about just taking a 30-06 and pop shot people. Right? But, man, you need to be able to tell it. Look at a Mormon and say, you know, that funny underwear ain't going to save you, dude. Right? Right? Are you trusting wearing that funny underwear? Did you take that underwear off and look at it and see the Masonic symbols on it?
Oh, man.
Amen. Did you ever pay attention to that? That can't save you. That's not God's righteousness. Right? You got to be able to tell them stuff. You got to be able to show them where they're wrong. I talk to Jehovah's Witnesses. You know what I do? You'll say, well, Luke 16. And they'll go, well, that's just a parable. I said, you know why you call it a parable? They go, why? I said, because you're trying to air condition your future home. Hello?
Yeah, right.
Amen.
Yeah, right.
That's what they're doing. They're trying to air condition it. Right? And then I found out Seventh-day Adventists believe in annihilation too. Right? I call them seven-day disadvantage. Hello? I've dealt with them online, and I got on to them about the Sabbath day, and we were talking about the Sabbath day. I said, you know, there ain't nobody that keeps the Sabbath. I said, you don't keep the Sabbath. They go, sure we do. I said, no, you don't. You don't keep the Sabbath. I said, turn over the Bible. I said, and I show them over there. If you don't honor Sabbath, what are you supposed to do? Stone them. I said, how many of the congregation you stone? I said, how come you only want to take the positive of the Sabbath, but then you don't want to take the negative of it?
That's right, brother.
Right?
Yeah.
Amen. If you don't honor the Sabbath, you just kill them. I said, how many people have you killed in your congregation? Amen. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 16. I'll show you something I show them. We need timely preaching. We need to look, know who. Listen, my uncle says it all the time. His preacher told me, you got to know your audience. Amen. Who's your audience? Who are you preaching to? Amen. That's who we're supposed to preach to, right? 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection for who? The saints. If I give an order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon what? The first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in stores, God has prospered him. I said, listen, you guys show up on Saturday and have your church services. Do you come back Sunday and give your offerings? They just look at you like, what are you talking about? That's what God said. Do you lay up your offerings on Sunday? Or do you do it on Saturday? Amen. You understand? I mean, God's got ways to make people idiots out of these people. Right? But this is what I tell them, preaching to ticks. I said, I forgot what I tell them. Oh, I tell the Jehovah Witnesses, I tell them, I said, you know what? If I'm wrong and you're right, I ain't got nothing to worry about. If I'm just going to get annihilated and it's going to be, I'm never going to feel a thing, let's go party. Let's go get drunk. I'll trade my King James Bible in for a Hustler magazine. If all I'm going to do is just get consumed and get burned up and never feel a thing, and there's no consequence for my sin and the way I live. I said, but if I'm right and you're wrong, you're going to weep and wail and gnash your teeth for all eternity. You understand? Right? See, they need to be told the truth. And people try to shun the truth. And you know how we witness the average Jehovah Witness, the average Christian? I don't need any. Slam the door shut on them. Don't even try to witness to them. Don't even try to talk to them. Don't even try to show them some scriptures. They won't even talk to a Mormon. They won't even talk to me. Listen, I'll take time to talk to them. Since I learned things going through the Jehovah Witness Bible and trying to show them stuff, they don't come around. It's like the devil says, this guy knows too much. I ain't bringing none of my students by there. Amen? But they need to know. They need to know what that book says. I'll give you one. Isaiah 9:6. Anybody quote it to me? No? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called what? Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, what? The Everlasting Father. Their Bible says the Eternal Father. I was downtown witnessing the Jehovah's Witness, and I said, hey, can I show you in your Bible that Jesus is the Eternal Father? And he goes, no, he ain't. I said, sure he is. Give me your Bible. He said, well, I don't have it. I said, and I stuck him. I said, what a poor soldier you are. You don't even carry your sword with you. And I said, if I can show you next week, you bring your Bible down here, I'll show you. I said, what would you do if I could prove it to you? He said, I'd kiss your foot right here in front of everybody. I said, good, I'll be here next week. Well, he wasn't there next week, wasn't there next week after that. Finally, the third week, he's out there, and I see him. I said, hey, buddy, you got your Bible? He said, no. And I said, I stuck him again. I said, what a poor soldier you are. Hey, man, don't carry your sword with you. He had a little girl with him, and she pulled out her Bible. I said, oh, you're a good soldier. And I opened it up to Isaiah 9:6. I said, read that. And it says that he's the Eternal Father. And I said, start kissing, son. And then he backed up crawfish, said he wasn't going to do that. But we got to have preaching that ticks and be able to show them the truth. Right? Listen, I want answers. What's 1 Peter 3:15 say? But sanctify God well in your hearts, to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks the reason of hope in you with wise, with meekness and fear, right? Yeah. I want to be able to give answers to people. I want to be able to show them. I just don't want to trip them up. I just don't want to stick them. I just don't want to hurt them. I want to be able to convert them. I want them to be able to see. I want them to realize they've been lost, they've been deceived, and they need the truth. Let me give you this. Revelation chapter 1. Now, I'm going to tell you what Gail Riplinger said. I'm not going to tell you what I say. Amen? Anybody know who Gail Riplinger is?
Yeah.
She said every Jehovah's Witness she's ever showed, what I'm about to show you, she's led to Christ. Amen. That's good testimony. Look at verse 8. I'm Alpha and Omega, beginning and ending, saith who? The Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, who?
The Almighty.
The Almighty. Amen. Verse 10 or 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, referring to him to being the Almighty, right? Verse 17, and I saw him and felt his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am who? First and the last, okay? When you go back to the book of Isaiah, it's referring to Jehovah God. And now it's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And it's talking about the Almighty, right? Verse 18, I am he that what? Liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore, amen. Listen, ask the Jehovah's Witness this. When did the Almighty die?
Yeah.
That's a good one, ain't it?
Yeah.
They need that kind of stuff. They need to see that the Almighty God came down in flesh. He wasn't just the begotten God. He just wasn't just a lesser God. Amen. He wasn't just hatched in time. Amen. He's God Almighty in the flesh. He's the Creator. Amen. He's the God of heaven and earth. And they need to be able to see that He took on man, form of a man in the flesh, and He died for their sins. They need to see that. They don't believe Him. Right? They need preaching that ticks. And then we need preaching that wicks. You ever see a wick? Amen. They got to be trimmed. You know what that is? That's going to light. We need light. Amen. Let's look at Psalm 36. Psalm 36. I thank God for the light. I thank God for the light of the world. I thank for the light. Thank God for the light that's in me. I thank God that I can see. Psalm 36, verse 9. For with thee is a fountain of life, and in thy light we shall what?
See light.
I can't wait to get in that book and see light. God, show me something new. Show me something fresh. Not something that I can just have something that nobody else has, but God, I need something. I need something out of that book. Open my eyes, go wondrous things I love. God, light my path. Show me. I need light. And in thy light I'll see what?
Light.
Ephesians 5. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do, right? We're supposed to send light. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. But all things that are approved made manifest how? By the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is? You know, God can use lost people to put light on a subject and rebuke you about things. Huh? Amen. You ever been under conviction being around some lost people? That they got better character than you. They got better habits than you. Amen. And then when you step out of line as a Christian, you do something and then they reprove you. So you being a Christian, you doing that? That's lying. Amen. Whatsoever make it manifest is lying. You know what? When them preachers get up and preach, amen, and they expose something that shines the light on something, people don't like it. Why? Because they love the dark. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. They don't come to the light. Why? Unless their deeds would be reproved. That's why people don't want to come to church. They don't want to get around the light. You know what we got to do? We got to trim the wicks. We got to light the wicks. Amen. We got to shine the light. Right? Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I hate verse 14. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Man, I hate that. Right? I wonder if we get to judgment how much murmuring and complaining I'm going to have to give an account of. Amen? That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That's a good verse on America.
Yeah.
Among whom you shine as lights in the world. How's your light? Is it hidden under a bushel? Is it bright? Is it shining? Is it pointing people to Christ? Is it like a candle on a candlestick that everybody can see in the whole room? Amen. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life. Amen. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither have labored in vain. Boy, if everybody in church just light their candle. Amen. Not hide it under a bushel. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, this little light of mine. Boy, if we could all get together, unite with all our lights lit.
Amen.
In this dark, wicked world. But what's happened is, won't let Satan blow it out. Amen? We've let Satan blow it out, or we've covered it up. It's too bright. People are offended. I'm going to kind of hide my light. Amen? That's what's happening. Instead of holding it up there and saying, I'm a Christian, I'm born again, I love Jesus Christ, and if you don't repent of your sin, you're going to burn in hell. Right? Amen. Well, the kind of preaching we don't need today. We don't need tricks. Preachers are using all kinds of gimmicks and all kinds of games and doing all kinds of things just to try to get cheap professions. Amen. I know of a church that gave away a brand new four Thunderbirds, just trying to get people in. Amen. Where's that church today? It exploded. They packed the house out. Amen. And they do the $5 bus seats, and they do suckers and give away and do all kinds of things, just trying to get people in. Amen. They bring in clowns and do all kinds of other stuff. Now they got praise dancing and praise breaking and doing all kinds of junk. Listen, you want to draw a crowd? Smooch, hooch, and pooch. Amen. Right? I told my church, I said, I can get a crowd. You want a crowd? I said, all we have to do is offer free kegs, get bikers in, and a bikini choir. Man, we pack it out. Amen. But it's more than just tricks. People been tricked. They've been conned. They don't need another con man to come in and deceive them. They need a man of God that's going to tell them the truth. Amen. We don't need tricks. We don't need flicks. We don't need movies. Amen. Though there are some good Christian movies out there. Amen. But listen, the church is so enamored with Hollywood, amen, that they sit back and they just want to be entertained. What did they do at Calvary? At Calvary, Jesus is there bleeding, hanging, and dying. A bunch of people just sat there and watched him. Spectators. We got too many spectators in Christianity. Right? We don't need chicks. Amen. See what do you mean by that? We don't need Joyce Myers. We don't need Paula White. We don't need female preachers in the pulpit. Amen. Trying to pastor churches. Right? Amen. We don't need chicks. We need men of God with a backbone, amen, that'll stand up and tell the truth. And then here, I got ticks again, but this is a different kind of tick. Amen, it's the kind that bites you and gives you Lyme disease, amen. Amen, we don't need heretics. Amen, there's too many heretics in the pulpit, amen. And I got one guy that he's been coming to church and he sends me all these heretics. And he said, this guy grieves my spirit. This guy gets me mad. I said, what are you listening to him for? Amen. I don't want to listen to all that stuff. I don't want to go through a trash can to try to find a sandwich. Amen. I quit listening to all that junk. Amen. I started listening to men I know that believe the book. If I listen to preaching, I'd rather listen to Scorby, read the Bible.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Listen. There are good preachers out there, and it's good to listen to some, but I'm telling you, there's a bunch of them that are whack, man. Amen? They come up with a bunch of harebrained things, and a lot of times I feel my preachers trying to untangle a bunch of junk that my people's listen to. Amen? And then the kind of preacher we don't need is the kind that makes you sick. God's sick. Revelation 3, I've seen the end, last of the church age there. In Revelation 3, the Almighty's puking. Right?
Yep.
He's sick. He's standing outside the church. Amen. The church is giving him nausea. They nauseate him. I got a message. I didn't want to preach it today, but God's sick. Let's heal him. How can we get God healed? Right? Hello, we got to heal God. The answer is right there in Revelation 3, how to heal God. Amen. But he's sick. I don't want to make God sick. That gets all over me, that God would be sick of me. Listen, I said the other night that I ran from God for 3.5 years from the call to preach. And God tracked me down, and I got to where I got down to 129 pounds. And I went to the bowl now. I went to go buy a pack of cigarettes. I was up there, and I was shaking so bad. My mom told me I was a cancer patient. A lady at work that I work with, she told me, she said, Cliff, you got to put a rock in your pocket. She said, you get out in the wind, it's going to blow you away. And I was under deep conviction, man. I was just running from God. I knew I was running from God. Then I sinned, and I thought I lost my salvation. And I was in trouble. I went to bowling one night, and then afterwards we went to the International House of Pancakes. And I got done at the International House of Pancakes and went home with a guy named Rodney and trying to talk to him about going to church. I said, I got to go somewhere. I just know I got to get somewhere that God's got to talk to me. So we go to his house and he asked his brother Gary. He said, Gary, you want to go to church with us? He said, where are you going? I said, I don't know. I said, I heard they built a new one down the road. He goes, hey, let's go to Herschel's. I said, who's Herschel? He said, Herschel and his son Joe, they pastor a church. Why don't we go over there? I said, okay, I'll go. So I go in. And we go into storefront church, just a little mission church. And I go in there and Brother Herschel and them were singing, and when I walked in, he shut down the singing. I sat about the fourth row back, and he goes, "God told me to change my sermon this morning." I said, "Oh boy." And he said, "Somewhere out there, God draws a line." And I said, "That's it. I done crossed it." Amen. He said, "Number one, he turned you over, reprobate mind." I said, "I got a reprobate mind. That's me." He said, "Number two, he'll harden your heart." I said, "There ain't nobody got a harder heart than I got." He said, "Number three, God will put your past feeling." And he gave an illustration of a man that got where his past feeling, that he sent all his family to the grocery store. And when they went to the grocery store, he poured gasoline all over him and his chair and everything, lit it up and burnt the house up and killed himself. And he said, "You know what happened to that man? He was past feeling." And Brother Maury, the greatest thing that I ever heard, the Lord walked back four rows back to me and he put his finger in my face and said, "Boy, you don't get right with me today, I'm going to kill you."
That's right. Come on, brother.
And I ran to the altar. I slid in. I was 20, 30 minutes down there bawling uncontrollably, unconsolable. I was just broken that I would push God Almighty to a place where he was sick of me and that he wanted to kill me.
Yeah, come on, brother.
That broke my heart so bad. I said, "Oh, my God, I've gotten to this place where I've messed up, Lord, and I've provoked you to want to kill me." That ate me up. And I got right with God. Amen. Said, "What'd you say?" I said, "I don't know what I said. All I know is I bawled, man. I broke." And that associate pastor put his arm around me, and he cried as hard as I was. And then when I got up, there's little old women dancing all around that church, shouting, having a time. My friend Gary was on the altar over there. Rodney was over there, had snot hanging out his nose about a foot long. Amen. And he was broken, and they were broken, and people shouting. And I mean, I had no idea where I was at. All I know is I had a head-on collision with God Almighty. And all I know is God was sick of me and he was ready to kill me. And that was the greatest day in my life, is to hear the sweetest words I ever heard. "Son, you don't get right with me, I'm going to kill you." Those were sweet words to me. Because I got in and I got so far in, I don't know where the line's at, but I'm making sure I'm so far away from that line. Amen. I never want God mad at me. I never want him upset at me. I want to always do the things that please him. Amen. I never want to step out of line. I want to be right with God. I never want to put a frown on his face. I talk about the great white throne judgment and him that sat upon it. Right? I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it. From whose face the heaven and earth, or earth and heaven, fled away. Right? And I preach on this. I said, what's his face going to look like when he sees you? I said, you think when you reject him and live in all that sin and you're fixing to be plunged off into hell that he's going to be excited with a smile on his face, happy that you rejected him and what he's done for you as he plunges you off in an eternal lake of fire? The last thing you'll see is you'll see God Almighty's face. Man, I can't imagine what it'd be like in eternity as you're burning in utter darkness and the last thing you see is the face of God. And when you're going off into hell, he's laughing at you. Amen? He'll laugh when our calamity comes. Amen? He'll mock, he says over there in Proverbs 1. Amen? The face of the Almighty God. You know what I want? I want to put a smile on his face. Amen? I want him to smile when he sees me and say, "Enter thou the joy of the Lord, thy good and faithful servant." Amen? I want to please the Almighty. I've already been there where I broke his heart and he's ready to kill me. I don't want that. I want to be able to be pleasing unto him. And when I stand before him, I say, "Good job, son. Good job, boy. Welcome home. Glad to see you." Amen. That's what I want. Yeah. Pastor Joe.
Well, amen. Thank you. See why we had him in.
Pastors and wives and ladies of the church have prepared a meal for you down there. And let's have a word of prayer. Father, I want to thank you now for what we heard. Thank you for the Maurys having driven that 2.5 hours to come here and testify. And I pray a blessing as they travel back. And we thank you for the Country Chapel Baptist Church and the elders being so kind as to have this meeting and allow us to be part of it. Thank you for allowing the fellowship. I thank you, Brother Cassiola, who has worked and fought in this fellowship work. Thank you that you put that on his heart. And we thank you for all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.